in honor of the yahrzeit of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, the concept of Gezel Shena, which is a term that you hear a lot. Through my research, I found the earliest reference to this term, besides a pasuk in Mishlei, Nigzela Shenasam, it's attributed to the Chafetz Chaim, that he used to speak about people stealing other people's sleep. You'll find this term now, not just in Musar Shmuzin, you find it in Halacha Sfarim. I showed you in one example of this is a sugya that needs further attention, davening on airplanes. Rav Ovadia Yosef says, you know, you're going to disturb people, you're going to steal their sleep, Gezel Shena, you're not going to have Kavana. But he puts in this term of Gezel Shena. Rav Chaim Knievsky claims it's, you know, there might be something wrong with it, alpi midos and character, but it's not really stealing. And then we delved into a bunch of tshuvas where they really debate whether it's actually stealing or not. That the Mishnah Halachos claims maybe it is gezel, because the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that if a non-Jew steals less than a shava peruta from a Jew, he's chayav. And even though there's a principle that we can assume a Jew is mochel less than a shava peruta, so if I'm mochel, then why is he chayav? He didn't take anything. To share the first one. He didn't take anything, so he says, it must be that I caused him tsar, and therefore, inherent in gezela is not actually taking something physical, it's causing you tsar by my actions. That's a fancy way of calling it gezela. What we ended with last time, which is really quite fascinating, is the Shulchan Aruch discusses, based on the Gemara in Bava Basra Daf Chaf, that at least in times where they didn't have separate school buildings, and you had the system set up by Rabbi Yehoshua ben Gamla, and has evolved, and maybe should evolve a little more, but that's for a different time, that Rabbi Yehoshua ben Gamla set up some kind of school system, and you had Malamde Tinokos, and they would teach out of their homes. And therefore you have a problem. I want to have a school in my house, and schools have wild children, right? They have always... And therefore, how do you reconcile these two things? The mandate to make schools in those days were in people's homes, and the fact that my neighbors are going to complain, the answer of Chazal is, you're allowed to do it. So society needs a school. A school's going to be in the community. It's going to be noisy. It's a risk you take. You don't like it, move. And the Shulchan Aruch says, V'chein l'shar tzrachim, tzarchei mitzvah. And the question is, how far does that go? And that's what we saw, two different approaches. Last time we started with number 13, this time I want to start with number 12. Let's say a person has in his house a night-based medrash. Right, there's somebody down on Taney, a nice guy who opened up, you know, a sort of a base medrash in his home. And there are a lot of people learning, and they're making a lot of noise, right? So is that okay? Can a neighbor say, hey, wait a minute, midnight, there's a lot of noise. I never signed up for this. So take a look at the Mishnah Halachos, number 12. Halomed b'kol u'mafriya shenas chavero. Somebody who learns out loud and disturbs the sleep of his friend. Okay? So, Lefiani Azdati, number 4. Baharmanusa de Mark for Gadlasa Shlita, Lomi Baya Tamide Chachamim, Afilo Harbe Tamide Chachamim, Lomdin Besamedrish, Derek Limuda, Mafilo Bekol, Shema Ora Hashchenim, Ein Baza Isser Kol Shehu, Derek Limud, Vafilo Roesh Kikol Har Sinai, Kol Shalom Miskavin Has Vishalom Lafrio, Belomi Torah Askinan, Ela Adirab, Afilo Yachid Arabim Besa Lomi Bekol Balaila, Leka Baza Isser Has Vishalom, Ela mitzvah v'chiyuv. Ubigmar Ervin Amar Rav Yirmiyah ben Elazar Kol Bayis Shenishmayim Bo Divrei Torah Balayla Shuv Eino Nechrav Shenamar V'lo Amar Yeh Elokai Osein Nosein Zmiros Balayla Uperish Rashi V'lo Amar Lo Hutzach Lisonim V'lo Amar Ayeh Osei Hareini Charev Mishen Osein Zmiros Shal Torah Balayla L'Hachi Nakat Layla Shakon Nishma Meirachok Ad Kan Harei Shepirish Dafka Shen Yilmod B'kol Ad Shakon Nishma Meirachok Upashat dashchenim gamkein shamin hakol dahachin perish mirachas demashchenim lo yishmo mi yishama. So he claims that it's not only okay; it's a nice thing. It's a great thing. It's great to have, you know, learning all night that very loudly that disturbs people. And he's not worried about, what about the neighbors? What about the Chilul Hashem? No, you're doing the right thing.
And so
that would be a question. Is it a Chilul Hashem to do, let's say it bothers you that, you know, that we're getting up early on in the morning to go to shul on Shabbos, on a Shabbos morning?
This is different.
This is more noise than expected, but I would venture to say that Jews, even if you try to keep things quiet on a Shabbos morning, you know, 8 o'clock in the morning, whenever 8:30, we're making more noise than many non-Jewish neighbors would prefer. So he's claiming
this is different.
You do what's right. You're not trying to disturb
them. This is different. This is totally. Here you got a case where people are actually sitting and screaming their heads off in the base medrash.
Yes.
And there's goyim around.
I agree with you.
Or even Jews around. It doesn't make a difference.
And they can't sleep because of my Torah.
What about building a shul and having all of these cars and all the neighbors complain?
Why do they have to scream? That's another issue. Meaning there's two issues. Let's say they're not screaming. They're just talking normally, but that bothers people because enough people talking normally in and out. You know, we have this. Let's say it would bother people that you have all the traffic, regular traffic. We're zoned for it, but it bothers people. Right? Is that a concern? So this is an extreme. I agree. This is an extreme. The Mishnah Halacha says, "Think of it's a mitzvah. They're doing something right." In his worldview, and I've seen many tshuvas of his. To him, this is no different than if it bothers somebody that you're putting on tefillin in the airport. You're by yourself in the corner. They video somebody.
You're not disturbing anybody.
But if it bothers them,
too bad.
He's saying that I have a right to do this, to learn, to do mitzvot in my home, and if it disturbs you, that's not my problem. The Chashuke Chemet said something similar. This is not my conclusion. I would just want to show this is an extreme. This is an extreme, and I think it's this attitude. I don't want to say something too scandalous. This attitude taken too far, we're going to do what we're going to do, and we have no responsibility to make any adjustments and to consider anybody else. Is a very, you know, people talk about a slippery slope. This is a slippery slope. Where is this going to lead? We'll do what we want to do. We have no responsibility to worry about.
That's like Midas Sodom kind of stuff.
So he would claim it's not Chilul Hashem. Chilul Hashem starts with doing the wrong thing. What it might be is what Alan says. There's a concept called Eva, where I'm even allowed to do Isurim Derabanan to not cause non-Jews to hate me. So would it be different if this isn't a non-Jew? It would have to be. You have to consider it Eva. That's Mefurish that Mishum Eva, a lot of Derabanans become mutter.
I mean, but if I want to put on blackface in the shul, but
not if you want to run for
governor. Not if you want to run for governor, right?
So, assuming that dressing up on Purim is a mitzvah, right, would we say we do things our way and we don't have to care? And this actually, Rabbi Yanki Horowitz from Muncie wrote an article about this because there was a school in Muncie, a yeshiva, that had an effigy of a black haman hanging in front of the yeshiva, and it caused terrible backlash. And Yanki Horowitz, God bless him, used this as a teachable moment for the school. And he came in and talked to them about racism, and he brought people from the black community, and he really turned it into a teachable moment. But yes, exactly what Alan's saying, we have a responsibility. So that's Eva. So that's that. But let's say you're in every neighbor's from, but I want to open up a night-based medrash in my house, right? And, you know, Willow Glen Court is now going to become, you know, our side of Willow Glen. The other side's already become, has traffic and noise concerns. But our side is going to be, you know, every night, 12 to 2 a.m., we're going to.
Hire an arsonist.
So the Mishnah Halacha says, I don't need to worry. I have a right. As long as it's mitzvot, I have a right to do my thing, and you can't complain. And I'm not bothering you. You have responsibility to figure things out on your own. The Chashuke Chemed of Zilberstein said something pretty similar.
Could you call the police? Could you be a miser and call the police and complain about the noise?
Is that called moser? So that's a whole separate sugya. According to many, there's no iser mesira if in a country that has just laws. Meaning mesira was a concern when, you know, a Jew was not going to be treated fairly. So definitely according to that position, you definitely can call the police. Even if you look in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Mesira, if the damage is ongoing, you're allowed to be moser. Meaning from something that was done, the person cheated on his taxes, and this is some fascinating tshuvas about from IRS from people. You're going to catch that the person stole on his taxes last year, right? And you know, obviously, somebody who cheated last year probably will cheat this year and next year. But do I have a right to be moser on him?
And get a commission. You can get a commission. By
okay, so that's a very interesting. That's
you
a very
you would spoke about that once before about whether you can be an IRS agent.
So I don't know. I might have mentioned that. I don't remember ever giving a full share on Mesira. But if there's an ongoing danger or nezek happening, then it's not moser. If there's a robber, a Jew who's doing something to you to encroach on your space, you're allowed to call them.
We have a issue. Dina de Machus Edina. You have there's zoning laws. There are noise laws.
Yes.
And you can.
Yes. So I don't think it's a problem. I don't think it's a problem to show up to a zoning hearing and report your concerns. I don't think that's a problem at all. That would not be moser. No.
You have the ability to do soundproofing, insulation. Do you think that in those days they seem to didn't have it that they do now? But do you think even he would say you have to spend the money to soundproof your house?
That's a great question.
But
the question for him would be, do I have to soundproof or does he have to get earplugs? Right? I don't know. You know, I would think mitzad hayosher vatov. If he's concerned that there's something to be said about learning out loud, and the Gemara in Erevin discusses how great it is when people learn b'kol. What if we can have the best of both worlds? That's what Simcha said. You'll learn scream to your heart's content, but we're making it soundproof. So why shouldn't he be mechuyev to do that? That's a great question. The Chashuke Chemed has this tshuva we saw last week, which again only in Israel, where somebody decides he wants to give a shir on the bus, right? And we don't know how many people like it.
They got it in the Long Island Railroad.
But let's say most of the people complained. Half the people complained. Some of the people complained. You know, I'm trying to sleep, and here you are yelling. He claims that the Chazon Ish was asked about somebody who was yelling in the Beis Medrash and disturbing other people, and the Chazon Ish says you can't stop him. This is how he learns. You have to wear your earplugs. And anybody, I mentioned last week, I think, anybody who's been in the Beis Medrash knows there's always at least one person. And you wonder whether he's doing it to be annoying or whether it really helps him learn, who has some kind of weird tune or yells a little too loud or a little high pitch, and it really disturbs you. So the Chashuke Chemed, his basic conclusion is, listen, I have my space. I have a right to do mitzvos in my space in the way that the mitzvos need to be carried out. Learning b'kol is a mitzvah, and therefore, if this is how I learn, I don't have to worry about you. And the same thing on a bus. I get on the bus, and I'm teaching on the bus. If you don't like it, then don't get on the bus.
What if he's doing a mitzvah stops me from doing my mitzvah? What if he's in shul screaming loud, davening, and I can't daven?
Right.
What is that?
Yeah, we have people like that.
No, that's a great question. Meaning my chaz is why is their davening more important than your davening?
You can't raise your voice for Shemona Esrei.
And that's one of the reasons.
There's
three reasons why you can't raise your voice for Shemona Esrei. One of them is it sounds like God needs you to speak loudly. The other is that you're going to disturb people.
You were talking about a lack of emunah.
Yeah, so that's, and I don't remember the third reason right now. That's also a great point. What if somebody else, he makes it sound like, well, people are wasting their time on the bus. What if, and I don't know if I mentioned this example, what if the Vilna Gaon's on the bus, right? And he sleeps 2 hours a day, and this is one of his hours, and this hour of sleep for the Vilna Gaon is more important than some shlemazel shir, right? For the Vilna Gaon, right? So how do you... It's hard to make these cheshbonos. So comes the Shevet Halevi in number 14. Yeah. And he says like this. Rak ze'ate hergashi mechtava achran elai, asher nistapek begeder gezel shena. Echto bekitzer da'ati ha'aniya, geder gezel lechora lo shayach, rak begozel chefs. He says, number one, the term gezel is, you know, it's a way of phrasing it, but it's not really stealing. So what is the problem? Bitul shena hi begeder mevata toelas v'tovas chavero. The issue is, I am taking away, I'm getting in your way of something that you're trying to accomplish, taking away benefit. V'isura ika mishum zeh. And therefore, even though you would think this is some kind of grumma, I caused you not to sleep, he says there's an isser because the Gemara Bava Basra discusses different things you're allowed to do in your home. You're not allowed to do things that disturb them. So why is there an exception for little kids? His answer was, and Simcha had a good ha'ar about this last time, in those days, this was the only way to set up schools. This was a community needs a school. It was not financially feasible to dedicate a separate building, so they had people come to someone's home.
It's called a cheder
because it's in a room in the house. Very good. I never even thought of that. So, you know, Rav Soloveitchik started Maimonides. It was in somebody's living room with three students, right? That's how the school started. So he says there's two things about that. Number one, there's no way around it. Kids are going to make noise, right? And they need to go to school. So yet, you're the unlucky one whose neighbor became a Malamde Kinokos. And number two, kids' hours are not at night. So they're coming to school in the daytime hours, and therefore it's reasonable for the rabbis to impose on the community the same way we can impose taxes. Why is a community allowed to say everybody must pay a certain amount? Because we, the people, decided. Same way we can decide we're going to have Malamde Tinokos, and your chesed is you live next to the Malamde Tinokos, you got to give up, you know, some of your rest in the middle of the day.
But there is a way around it. Now, when they set up a city, they could have zoning. Mm-hmm. And they could say, a tannery goes over here with a bad smell. And Place Safer goes over here.
Right.
And a mikvah goes over here. And those houses in that area may be much cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
That people, there is a
so why didn't they say that? I don't know. But they didn't.
But it is, they could.
That would be, yes. But what the Shevet HaLevi says is, he's not questioning why Chazal said what they said. He said you can't extend it any further. It's specifically Malamde Tinokos because they inherently make noise, so you can't tell them to be quiet. And number two, their hours are not very late. But then he says when it comes to a base medrash at night, who says you have to have it in the middle of the community if it's going to make noise? And who says you have to do it in a noisy fashion? Right? This is Shavuos night learning. We always remind people, be quiet when, you know, it's the middle of the night for people.
When you're walking, quiet.
You don't have to make noise. Just because you have Shavuos night learning doesn't mean you have to have noise. You can be quiet in the streets. So that's the Shevet HaLevi. And to me, this is quite compelling. Linyan Talmid Chacham Stam, where I underlined, Shalomei Bebeis HaMedrash, Bevadai Lo Huter Lo Lag Via Kolo. Kol kach achi afriya hashena kol alayla me'ashchenim, ki efshir lilmod b'kol gam b'li hafra. Ma she'en ken, esek tashbar shelo holech, kimat b'li agbas kol amalamed, ha'talmidim, kol zeh b'tnai shelo yiyobo mizeh b'tol Torah b'tol tfila, imilei shcholim b'sviva, you got to be very careful. And this brings us just a tangent. What about a case where somebody's trying to open up a shul on your street, and you're concerned about noise, you're concerned about traffic,
parking.
So I don't know if a person has a right to say they shouldn't be there, but they certainly have a right to make sure that all the zoning issues are taken care of, that there's enough parking, that they make sure that they commit to all the noise requirements. All of that is fair and reasonable. Do you have a right to say they shouldn't build here? I would say only if you don't think they can fulfill the zoning requirements. Because otherwise, it sounds like for Tzarchei Mitzvah, a person has a right to turn their home into a minion factory. I don't know. I'm sure
there are a lot of shuls around. And the
so what gives somebody a right?
One more shul because somebody wants to,
That's a great point. Somebody wants to open up a shul on your block.
Which is exactly what happened.
Right. Right.
But when they open the shuls, if they meet all the zoning requirements, I'm flipping my eyes, if they meet all the zoning requirements, that's a halbitzar. But if the guy wants to have a little minion in his house and it's not going to bother with parking or anything else,
mm-hmm.
there's no problem.
Right.
Was this
happening? The Shabbos minyanim.
Right.
Was this a? I wasn't here yet at the time. Was this a concern when Shomrei, for example, started out in the little house next door?
I don't know.
When what?
When the Shomrei, I wasn't here. When Shomrei started out in the basement, and then they eventually moved to the house, to the burger house.
But was they already was, had Pickwick Church Center.
Was this an issue?
Yeah.
No, there was never an issue. And they never had a zoning issue here at all. Even when they bought the first house here, there was never an issue. The issue came up when we expanded the building. After Pickwick built the building and we expanded it, then the neighbors went to the neighborhood association and complained about there wouldn't be enough parking. And
right, this part I remember.
That's all.
And here's the question, looking, it's not it's a legitimate complaint. Look at when we have a wedding, people, the traffic and the parking is and it's legitimate. So that would be another shiur about zoning for shuls.
Mm-hmm.
I want to show you a very sensitive tshuva by the Tshuvas von Hagos. If you remember last week, number 15, we saw that the Mishnah Halachos first goes to a sugya in Brachos Yud Gimel. Are you allowed to wake somebody up to say Kriyat Shema? So the Gemara implies that for the first pasuk you wake him up, the rest of it you let the guy sleep.
But you woke him up already.
What? But then he goes back to sleep.
You woke him up
these people, right? People in shul, something about shul. I don't know what it is, but it puts people to sleep. Actually, I know what it is. I'm sorry.
we have this issue in Ashkenazi, and like to say here, there's somebody that comes and basically he comes and sleep, and.
It's not unique to your minion.
Right. There was a big shiloh whether we stop. We woke him up for a couple of weeks and then we just
Does he snore? Yeah.
Does he snore?
Did I tell you I told you the story about how we ended up with the question of the week? I must have told you. My first year here, we changed the clocks. About a dozen people came up to me and said, Rabbi Gottlieb used to give a shiur 15 minutes on halacha in the winter. And it was great if we were so davening starts so early, who needs to eat dinner at 5:30? Extra 15 minutes, can you continue that? Probably double that number of people came to me and said, Rabbi Weinreb didn't speak, don't even think about it. So here, what do you do? Do you add up numbers? So I decided I would do this question of the week. Because 2-3 minutes and then later, I think it was actually Hillel who said, how about answering it? And we turned it into 5 minutes. 5 minutes, who's going to complain? One person, somebody who will remain nameless, a wonderful, wonderful gentleman in the shul came up to me, and he said, let me just tell you my two sons. When Rabbi Weinreb was here, we got out earlier. When Rabbi Gottlieb was here, I got a nap. He said, what does 5 minutes do for me? Number 15. Misha yashen im l'ora l'kriyashma. L'ora hayamakom lomar du anu sepater. He comes at it very differently than the Gemara, which is interesting. He says, wait, he's sleeping in Zman Kriyashma. He's anus. He's sleeping. He was allowed to go to sleep. Now that wouldn't apply if he was up when he came to shul and he has a chi of Kriyashma. That would apply if he never woke up in the morning. So that's the case he's dealing with. You have somebody in your house, a guest is staying over. He didn't ask you to wake him up. You're not sure he wants to go to shul, but it's Zman Kriya Shema.
So, quick question. Are you mechuyev to set your alarm clock to get up in order to say Kriya Shema?
Are you mechuyev to?
To set your alarm. In other words, supposing you're tired. You come home from a wedding, somebody, you come late, and you don't set your alarm clock, and you get up whenever you happen to get up.
Can you set yourself
up? Are you required to set your alarm clock?
Yes.
You are required to do it.
Yes, but let's say this person didn't do it. Do I have to wake him up?
Okay.
So you're asking something very interesting. If he was required to set an alarm clock and he didn't, then why am I not required to wake him up?
But is it onus if he...
But right now, he's onus. He did not set his alarm clock. He did not ask you to wake him up.
Right. Okay.
So listen to the tshuva. Minala tshuvot la'oro. Be'emes onus eino kaman David. V'chas shelo mitzvah sedi kriyashma. He said, let's say he's onus. But he's going to miss out... Kriya Shema. Honest means you don't get punished. It's beyond your control. But it doesn't mean it's like you did the mitzvah. Bavade gam lo nicha shiyoro so. So it's good for him. It's to his benefit that you wake him up. Ein makom lach shosh klal. Mefarsh kem b'shulchan arach shebenenash b'shena me'ir mosad lomar Kriya Shema. V'alken yoru l'schus of Kriya Shema filuhu anus gamar. He comes out and he says, and this is the conclusion of the Gemara in Yud Gimel, you do wake him up for Kriya Shema. V'nirish shagam l'tfila b'tzibor rari l'hayiro. He says, even for tfila b'tzibor, which is derabanan. Aval darver zeh tzarech bir detalim yadua shenizar mo b'tfila b'tzibor, v'chamor lo inyan zevi, tzar shechaser lo rari l'hayiro, aval b'safik nirish she'en l'hayir. This is not talking about tfila, this is talking about tfila b'tzibor. So we've done a shir on this before. Tfila b'tzibor, according to Rav Moshe Feinstein, is an absolute chiyuv midirabanan. Rav Henkin thinks it's just a mila. It's better, it's good, you should try, but he doesn't think it's an absolute obligation. So what if the person isn't always makbid to daven b'tzibor? Do you wake, there's only a 6 o'clock minyan, right? Do you wake him up, or he'll daven when he gets up? Midinam afersh b'gemar b'tfil b'tzibor in trichale milsa ein chiyav, v'chein rak ad mil chayavim v'lo yoser. He says something very interesting. That for tefillah b'tzibor, you only have to walk 18 minutes. If you're 18 minutes away from a minyan, then midina, you can daven b'yachidus l'chatchila. So he claims from there that if a person is asleep, being woken up from sleep is no different than walking more than 18 minutes in his mind, and therefore, if I'm not sure he would want to wake up for the 6 o'clock minyan, I let him sleep and just wake him up for tefillah. Umiyo yodea ani, third paragraph. Uvda sherabeno achazanish, lo hiskim la'ir kide lomar kriyashma bizman amagin avram v'siyato. It's a case where somebody wanted to wake somebody up for the zman magin avram and not let them wait till the zman gra. And this is a strange thing in our practice that generally people are not makbid for the magin avram zman kriyashma, even though kriyashma is daraisa. Yet we're makbid for the zman of the Magen Avram when it comes to things like sof zman achila on Erev Pesach and sof zman, and this is, it doesn't make sense in a halachic context. It probably has to do more with anything related to Pesach. We are extremely machmir, and it probably wasn't practical for poskim to take a stand on Magen Avram zman. So the Chazon Ish did not wake people up for, or he told somebody not, don't wake people up to make the Zman Magen Avram. Lo nisparli imzeu mipnei sheladato en lachshosh klal lahayshita dekaimelan l'shitaso kigra. Is it because the Chazon Ish held like the gra? V'nagam afilu be'isser shabbos lo lamtin l'dalad milin v'chem mikriyash maladato shitas agra ikar v'entzarech lachshosh lahachmir o ladato yashen anos olechum rezos en me'irim mishena. Ulefid arkeno adin tala yamakbid ma'od kishitas Magen Avram. He ends up by saying that it has to do with what do you think he would want? Would he want to get up or would he not want to get up? But what you see here is how careful he is with the concept of you don't interrupt somebody. Somebody's sleeping, you got to respect his sleep.
How about the yeshiva? I was the becker. And guys just throw shoes at me when I wake them up.
Really?
Yeah, of course.
So that already, when people come to a yeshiva, they come with the rules of the yeshiva. So there's no question. You enroll in the yeshiva. The yeshiva rule is you have to get up, and you're subjecting yourself to the fact that somebody's going to knock on your door. But let's say somebody in the community just decides, we're going to wake everybody up, right? Yeah, some kind of
that. That's what they used to have in Europe.
So who said that I want to be part of it? So if it's the community decided, then that's fine. But let's say there is no, you know, even today.
I mean, a new Chesed organization would have a robocall every morning. Right?
I can see that. People are looking
I'm waiting for them to come to the
right? That they come and they will knock on everybody's door and it's Chus HaTzibur and we're gonna remind you. Mm-hmm. Would that be okay?
I guess with my plug in Rav Moshe, if it's a chiyuv,
right?
Kofin would be your kofin,
right?
Kofin, right? Can't kofin,
right? But what you see from this tshuva, and the reason I brought it is how careful he is with waking with the concept of interrupting somebody's sleep. So this last tshuva, and I don't know if we'll have time to see the last article, but we'll see this tshuva. This piece from the Pisrei Choshen, he is the posik on Choshen Mishpat, Reb Lai, and how it relates to the next sugya of jumping in line. Reb Lai claims that the whole issue is an issue of onas devarim. Onas devarim means causing somebody pain through my words or actions. He says, you're not stealing anything, you're not taking anything. Right, it's just the term. What it is you're bothering somebody. You're not allowed to bother somebody, and that's what Gezel Shein is about, and that's what taking somebody's turn in line is about. Take a look at number 16. Amru Chazal, Kishem she'ona b'mekach u'memkar, kach ona b'dvarim, u'bichlal onas dvarim hametzair es chavero b'dvarim. Somebody who pains somebody else through words. Oh, I'm a vaisho bidvarim, or embarrasses him with words. V'yesh omrim shegam hamotzi shemra al chavera over below sonu. Pischei choshen chelakei, geneva va'ona haras tasvav. B'sefer hizaru b'mamon chaverechem. Herich b'inyan gezel shena. He quotes in a footnote a sefer called Hizaru b'mamon chaverechem that talks about gezel shena. V'nira pasha, shemikeben shitsar gadol hu, Hareza bichla lo sonu. He says he thinks that if you want to know what's the iser, Reb Lai says it's from the iser of lo sonu. You're not allowed to cause somebody pain. V'lashon gezel eino meduya kol kach baza, aval iser tsar vada yesh baza. V'kach haza b'shut karen l'david simen yudches she'aser min haTorah lahakitz chavero b'shnasa mishum tsar. V'erich sham laduni mutar. Right? I'm not allowed to cause him tsar, so therefore it's a sugya. Am I allowed, what we just saw in Rav Sternbach, am I allowed to cause him tsar to help him do a mitzvah? Right? If you think about it, I'm causing him pain, right? What gives me a right to cause somebody pain just so he would do a mitzvah? Only if I know he would want it. If I don't know he would want it, then I'm not allowed. The exception of a father, mother, and mechanech might be different.
What about keeping him from the virus?
What?
About keeping him from doing an avera.
So again, let's say he wants to do an avera. Am I allowed to, if I see somebody who's about to eat treif, am I allowed to steal their food and throw it away? Right? We did this sugya once with Rachel and the trafim.
Right.
You know, and that already, we focused more on the concept of vigilante justice. You know, what would society look like if everybody was looking through each other's, you know, lockers? I mean, that's one of the cases. Can somebody, there's a report that somebody has, you know, it's inappropriate stuff in his locker, you know, and whatever there, and what's it going to be? You know, Jewish action is inappropriate to somebody who thinks that you can't have pictures of women in magazines, right? But let's say something that everybody agrees is inappropriate, he has it in his own space. Is somebody allowed to break into his house and take it and destroy it? You're sitting at a rest stop and you see another Jew about to eat something non-kosher. Are you allowed to throw it out? I mean, these are, so that, am I allowed to be mitzar him, to be mafresh him from Isser? It would probably follow the same thing if he would want me to. Unless he's my responsibility, he's my child, he's my you know, even that is complicated. But that's Herich Shal Nazuni Mutter Min Chayim.
I think you'd have to give him Tochacha. I mean, that gets into the issue of Tochacha.
That gets into Tochacha, yes. That's
embarrassment, whatever it is.
And again, and then there's the broader issues of, you know, if I live, what would society look like if everybody was walking around, you know, giving Mussar every day to everybody else? So that, and then the question, no, then the question becomes, who sets the standard? Right? Who sets the standard? Let's say we say, okay, we're only going to give mussar to each other about Shmirah Shabbos. What does that mean? Does that mean Baal Shem, which is Mefurish in Shulchan Aruch in the Ramah that it's mutter on Shabbos, but you know it's not in the spirit of Shabbos? Are we going to make that the cutoff, or is it driving on Shabbos? You know. You can take any halacha. Are we going to make, is Chalav Yisrael going to be the standard? If you see anyone eating non-Chalav Yisrael, you're going to give them mussar, mm-hmm. right? So yes. So
well,
if you
and they're in their, I see somebody in their cart has some product that is clearly not kosher.
So if you know them and you know that they would want it here, you're not causing them tsar. Meaning what's difficult about this case is that onas devara means I'm causing them tsar. If I had something in my cart that, you know, used to have a hechsher, now it doesn't have a hechsher, and you come up to me and say, I want you to know that it doesn't have, there's no tsar there. But if I wouldn't want to know, and I either don't care or I'm going to be embarrassed and probably won't care, then I'm causing him tsar unnecessarily. And then what happens is, then what happens is not only did he do an avera by eating this thing, I did an avera by causing him tsar. Unless you would say that's not tsar, because you know it's I'm doing it as from the mitzvah of tochacha. But tochacha is a complicated sugya. Maybe one day we'll do it.
Right.
The same way there's a mitzvah to give tochacha, there's a mitzvah not to give tochacha.
Yeah.
For many reasons. There's a mutter shu shogigin, vayu mezidin. There, you know, there's also a concept of if I give tzar and I'm not right, if I give tochacha and I'm not right to give tochacha, so then I'm not going to accomplish anything. He's just going to hate me. And exactly, and that's why the Chafetz Chaim quotes the Maharam, who says that nowadays we don't have people who know how to give tochacha.
Yeah.
So what's that fit with Malkim HaSar Shari Yom HaRosh Hashanah?
So that was...
It's causing them sorrow probably when you're beating them.
Yes. So a Beis Din has certain rights to do that.
So do you figure out boys in town can make themselves from a Beis Din and they have to be fighting?
I hope not. I hope not. So let's jump back into this, because that would be, you know, the broader societal implications of a society with vigilante justice is pretty terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
And you have that in many societies.
You mean like if they're selling long shekels, you burn the store down?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And some more, you know, relevant examples. So, umash dan sham bedin sar ba lechaim ba adam. Okay. Od harak ladin yesh mikri bardas v'gamor mishu v'yafta l'reacha kamocha. So he says, besides onas dvarim, what about v'yafta l'reacha kamocha? Now, I like using v'yafta l'reacha kamocha, like Rav Chaim Kanievsky did, because I think it works out perfectly for Gezel Shena, right? V'yafta l'reacha kamocha. Do you think he would want, you know, you treat him as you would have wanted, you try to put yourself in his shoes. Would I want somebody to wake me up for the Magen Avraham when I was intending to sleep until the Zman of the Gra? Absolutely not. Would I want to miss the Zman of the Gra? Absolutely not. I would want somebody to wake me up. So it's reasonable to wake them up in that case. I just had a cute story. Last Friday night, I told my children a little bit about this shiur. And last Friday night, I went downstairs. I have, you know, my two books that I'm in the middle of reading. And I must have conked out after about 3 minutes. And the kids are still playing in the basement. And suddenly I look up. And Aliza says, we were going to wake you up, but we didn't want to violate Gezel Shena. You can't cause someone sorry. You have to be respectful. You have to treat each other with respect. And that brings us to the next page. And we'll go back with one more tshuva if we have time. The concept of jumping in line. Mm-hmm. So here's the classic case. You have a line, 10 people waiting, and then you see your friend. Oh, you know, you don't mind if they go in front of you. That's really nice. But what about all the other people? There's 8 people behind you. So can you let them jump in line? So what kind of, so here the poskim, some of the poskim say, what kind of schus do you have? Do you have any rights by standing in line? You know, that meaning, can the person, if let's say you let somebody jump in line, can the person demand, you know, that you pay him anything? But comes this Dayan in Israel named Dayan Spitz, who has at least 5 volumes called Mishpatei HaTorah, and very relevant contemporary topics. Ha'im mutar likanes la'autobus la'bank l'chanus l'chol makom shemachakim anashim l'fanav shelo lifi hator. Can I jump in line? Tshuva. Aser likanes lifnei chaber ha'omid lifanav b'tor. Adam shenichnas shelo b'tora over gamal iser onas devarem shenilman me'apasuk l'sono ishes amito. Right? You're causing him tsar. What's the tsar? I'm going to have to wait an extra, right? Rak b'mikresh shekola omdim lefanav hiskimu sheikanes lifnem rashai likanes v'shelo b'torah.
Then you have to actually ask every each person in front, each person behind you.
Right.
And is that what asking? Supposing like there's a line for washing, and I ask, do you mind the rabbi cuts in front? Isn't that sort of putting them in a position where they can say, yes, I mind? They may really not mind. They really, might really mind, but they feel embarrassed to say they mind. So they say, oh, of course the rabbi should go in front of me.
So that's a great, great question.
Wait,
we were dealing with this on Losach mode,
right?
Right. With the issur of Losach mode is to compel somebody to sell something to you. Now, by the time it's sold, he agrees. I'm going to sell you my house for $500,000. He gets full payment, maybe even more than it's worth, but he didn't really want to part with his house. I wanted his house. I got it out of him. That's Losach mode. So how many times am I allowed to ask? So it's unclear how many times. So some posts can say 3 times, but what's clear is if you're somebody that just by virtue of your position and your relationship to him, he will feel compelled, so then that would violate Losach mode. So you can't have, you know, the person's rabbi or the person, you know, the senator from his district put pressure on him, because even one time of asking, he's not going to answer Belev Shalom. So your question is the same thing. If I have a line and I don't think everybody will really wants to let him, but they'll do it because they're embarrassed. That's hard to know, because sometimes they really, you know, if it's somebody important that they respect, you know, they might worry about their time, but they would want to let him go first.
Rabbi, practically speaking, I mean, that all the time. I mean, the rabbi of a shul is going to be on line, and I would hope to think that people are going to say, no, please.
So that's what he says in his footnote. In his footnote, he basically says that this all boils down to tzedek v'yosher, right? And that's the, you know, the common sense principle in halacha, that the Netziv writes that the Torah doesn't tell us every possible thing that could happen to you in life. The Torah introduces these phrases like v'asisa hayasher v'atov, tzedek tzedek tirdof, right? That a person should do the right thing, and we know what the right thing is.
Rabbi,
so here, if it's tzedek tzedek tirdof, 2 people come at the same time. So how do you decide who's first? The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, they work out a compromise. From there, the poskim say what it means is that's only because they came at the same time. If one came first, he goes first. Dayanim have a responsibility to take people who come to them first come, first serve. There's a beautiful story in the Rav Speaks about Chaim Brisk. That what happened in Brisk, the Chevra Kedisha could only handle one funeral a day, and somebody with you know, a poor person died, and they were about to set things up for him, and then one of the most influential, you know, people in the city died, and immediately the Chevra Kedisha stopped what they were doing and started dealing with that, and Rav Chaim sent them back, and Rav Chaim would not budge. And he said, this has to do with, you know, tzedek and yosher, the first come, first serve. So,
so when it comes to a common custom, the Gemara says Beferish, they have a right when it comes to a din before a Beis Din to go first, and there's a chiyuv.
Yeah. So that's what custom. He says that you have. What he doesn't actually point that out, but if you turn to page Shin Zion, the second page, the second paragraph, Hinei me'achar v'schus ha'tor b'nuya ala musag tzedek v'yosher, l'fikach amr chazal shebimikrim misuyamim, shehayosher hu lahakdim es ha'sheni lifnei ha'rishon, yukdam ha'sheni kigon, l'gabe hilchos dayanim amr chazal, shemitzvah ladayan lahakdim es ha'diyon shel yasom, o almana. Okay? So there, everybody has a responsibility to honor the, you know, to give deference to the yasam and almana. Lifnei hadin shabale din acherim. Lamar she yasam igiyem meucha yoser. Mishum shetzara mebushasam shal almana vayasam b'mikra zeh hei merubim asher tzar shal adam acher. Lefik chumina yosher b'ninon didan lahakdim osam. Kimoke mosif ha-meiri shal yosher lahakdim b'tor adam chola o zaken o b'mikrim acherim shabem shehuchach b'vadal she'en ha'achron yochol lechakos b'tor lifnei anashim acherim shemechakim sham lefanav. V'nir shebechol mikra shano anu mesupakim ha'im hasheni nitzrach lakdama yosher me'arishon mikeven sheish l'arishon adifos v'adais mitzad ha'yosher shu yuktam v'ilu b'yachz l'matzav ha'shal hasheni anu mesupakim yuktam ha'rishon shehina v'adai lifnei hasheni shehina rak safek. And a lot of it is case by case. So you have a rabbi comes. What if there's a non-Jew on the line? What if it's Jews, you could say they all have to respect the Talmud Chacham.
And you don't even have to ask them.
And I wouldn't think you have to ask. I think everybody would. Everybody would be responsible to show honor.
Okay.
But if it's a chola, somebody comes and they have, you know, oxygen with them and you see it's difficult, I don't think you need to ask anyone. You can just let them ahead. But what I'm thinking now, what if it's, you know, Jews and non-Jews on a line, you're waiting for the bank, and your rabbi comes? I don't think you have a right to let your rabbi.
No, I mean,
you don't have
people like that saying, no, I'll wait in turn, my turn.
But you can say, take my place, and then it goes to the end of the line.
Yes, that would be...
That's different.
What if he gets into the nitty-gritty? What if his appointment will take a half hour and yours was only going to take 10 minutes? Mm-hmm. You know, then you could see it both ways. You know, when you have a right in line, it's for as long as you need. But I agree with that. I think that would be the best solution. You take my spot. But in other places, you're allowed to just assume that he goes first. Achola, ayasam, and almana. If it's a from group, you can let a Talmud Chacham first.
So the place where I've seen this come up most, so for a practical situation, yeah, is, let's say, Disneyland, Disney World, whatever.
Okay.
Universal Studios. So you're in line, and people say, my family's ahead of me, I want to join them.
Right.
So I've never heard anybody object out loud to it. It seems that that's common practice,
right,
that people do that, but that doesn't mean there's not one person in line who's really resenting it and saying, yeah, your kids just came off a different ride and you're holding a place for them, and that's the way it's supposed to work. And there are signs all over the place that say, now if you're cutting online, you can be thrown out of the park.
But I think that might be considered reasonable, that families, but let's say, you know, how big is a family? This is something we had to deal with, you know, in the shul, when we say, you're this level sponsor, then your family, you know, is allowed in.
Fourth cousin.
Exactly. What if somebody has, you know, fourth cousins, fifth cousins? Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of this is just, you know, what's reasonable.
So
what,
if most people...
If you have a woman, I'll give you an example. You have a family, you know, comes, and, you know, one parent took a little kid to the bathroom.
Right.
I think, you know, it's reasonable to say everybody would not... You know, most people would not mind.
Well,
let's say one guy.
You just said every five years.
Or most people, because there's always one person.
That's a good question. If most people would say it's
right,
normal.
I think you go by most people. Then he continues. Amnam lifnei shechavera nichnas lator urashai laseis lo cheshbonosav umismachav kidei shechavero yitava behem avuro. This is very interesting. This I wouldn't have said. He said, wait, did we do Bez? No, go back to Bez. Sorry. Adam she'omid b'tor b'bank b'makolot v'chadomeh kidei l'shalem chobos u'lehotzi yishur misuyamim v'chadomeh gam anashim nosafim mechakim acharav Asa l'chaver shabacharem lases l'arishonas mismachav kidei yishalem tashlumim o yotzi yishur mechadom megam avuro. You can't give your deposits to somebody online. Right? So that I'm not waiting online. I'm just going to give him all my groceries. Give him my card and my credit card, and he'll pay. He said, you can't do that.
Well, that's the same as cutting in line. It's exactly the same thing.
But this is something very, and this to me is too lumpish. You tell me what you think. He says, I hear this both ways. Let's say you give somebody, you're going to the supermarket. Can you buy me some stuff? Would anybody say, when I go to the supermarket a lot of times,
what happens?
I get eggs for the neighbor. I get, so am I not allowed to, am I?
What people do now is you go in, you see the line is to the end of the store, you get a cart, you put one item in it, you stand in line, you send your kids, stand here, and then you go fill it up from the store, and eventually, by the time you finish, it's almost your turn.
So I think that's fine. I think that's fine. What he's dealing with now is, let's say I'm about to check out, and somebody hands me their cart and their credit card and says, can you take this into line with you? He says that's fine, because when you got into line, you were holding somebody else's stuff in their cart and you had agreed to do it on their behalf. He says that's fine. Okay. And, you know,
if you're in line, that's because you're in line.
Because when you waited in line, you waited not... Now, the only thing that doesn't sit well with me is this could potentially cause problem. I'm waiting behind somebody. I don't realize that in a supermarket, you'll notice, in a bank, I don't realize that he has, you know, but I've sometimes been behind somebody who has 12 of their own deposits. So, Gimel, Rashai Bal Chanut Pratit. Let's say you're the store owner. So here, very interesting. He says, if you're the store owner, you get to decide who you want to take. That basically a line is meaningless. You get to define. It's at your discretion. Now, there could be you have to worry about protected classes.
What I'm saying is a chashuv person comes to the doctor's office. They could send him in first.
Anybody.
Okay, but what about your friend?
What?
Your friend comes.
Okay, what's the
name? I have so mechiras chametz. I go in order of the line. Uh-huh. But let's say I decide, you know, this person's my friend. Come to the front of the line, so right? He says I would be allowed to do that.
But is your friend allowed to take advantage of that? You're saying come to the front of my line.
So he says it, yes.
So what? I understand why the store owner is allowed to do that. I don't understand why the friend is allowed to do that.
Because what he's saying is the line is only has meaning if the store owner gives.
But I'm calling Akwat Snefesh. I'm still causing SARS to other people. So the store owner says, it's my store, I'm allowed to take any order.
It's only Akwat Snefesh if you don't think it's fair.
And people online will not think that it's fair. So
he says, I hear you, but he says it's fine.
But then he says the store owner's left.
Yes.
But if everybody knows, to say the person.
It has to follow. Otherwise, he wouldn't allow the store owner to do something that would then cause the person to do something wrong.
If everybody knows the store owner has the right to do that, then
now he claims that a cashier does not have that right. It's only the store owner. And then he says, Dalit is very important. Yeshna mikrim. Shebahem, the last page. Hatzedek vayosher mechayvim la'kdimas ha'achron la'moshe omdim l'fanav anashim rabim b'tor kigon. Im ha'achron hino chola. Shemisivas brios en yachol l'chakoz man rab b'tor. Im notzer lo b'pitomiyos hechrach. Shemachmasu chayv l'tapel behektim ha'afshari b'inyanav kede shelo yigrom lo hefsed mamoni gadol machmas ha'amtana v'chayotze b'zeh. Extenuating circumstances. And again, this brings us to... Really, a lot of these things, benanam lachavero, it's about common sense. This is something a professor at Hebrew University, Benny Brown, published something about reactions to the Chafetz Chaim Shmir Salashon, which is now a staple, an amazing sefer. There were certain gedolim who were concerned that if you boil things down into a sefer, when people should very much rely on their common sense. Is this nice? Is this necessary? right? So certain people were afraid of a book like that being published. And to me, I have the very same feelings when it comes to these halakhas, Gezel, Sheinan, cutting in line. The operative principle is you treat others as you would want to be treated. And that's really what you see as the operative principle. I try to think, would he want me to wake him up or not? Should I disturb people? Well, you know, I think most of us would understand that if it's important for the community or for people's chinuch, we'll put up with more. But if not, we'll put up with less. The Simcha's question about building a soundproof room. To me, it's of course you have to if it happens all the time and I know I'm going to disturb people. If I have once a year something in my house that runs late, then I don't think I'm mechuyev to do it, that. But a lot of the principle that operates here with chiyuv and ben adam l'chavero is asisa hayasher v'atov, tzedek tzedek tirdof v'yavta l'reacha kamocha. If I don't do things correctly, do I violate, you know, onas devarim? Do I violate some kind of geneva gezela? Maybe, but the operative principle to me that's less important than the after l'recha kamocha. And that's one of my favorite emails that I got from Rabbi Henkin, who should be well. In when we were learning, when I was back at Hopkins, I put the date November 1st to 2nd, 2007, page 8 on the first handout. Dear Rabbi Henkin, is cutting in line prohibited? And if so, what would be the source? I have seen people related to Ona, Mitzar, Abakizela, Tzedek, Tzedek, Tirdov. Rabbi Henkin, to me, V'asita Hayasher V'hatov. V'asita Hayasher V'hatov. And that was the really the operative principle in Rabbi Yisrael Salanter's teachings.